Time now for Wisconsin Life. Tomorrow marks the two-year anniversary of the tragic shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. Shauna Singh Baldwin tells us about sharing her faith and her temple with a young friend.
In the 30 years I've lived in Milwaukee, two people have asked to visit a Sikh temple with me. In that time, I've attended many services at churches and synagogues. But since a neo-Nazi walked into our temple in Oak Creek and shot six people in cold blood before turning his gun on himself, Wisconsin Sikhs have been urged by our leaders to reach out to people of other faiths. So when an old friend's 19-year-old daughter asked to visit my temple to fulfill a school requirement, I was welcoming, but wary. As Bella and I drove past a tan lakeshore, I explained that 22 million Sikhs worldwide respect the teachings of a lineage of 10 gurus, beginning with Guru Nanak, born in 1469. The Guru Granth Sahib, a book filled with the Guru's poems of praise to a faceless, impersonal God, is a person for us. The 1430-page book is ceremoniously woken each morning, dressed, read from as worship, and put to bed at night. The five gold domes are new, I told Bella as we pulled into the parking lot. They're dedicated to those shot down by the Aryan supremacist. Inside, we took off our shoes and I covered her head with her favorite of my long, sparkly chunni scarves. We walked up the center aisle to the holy book, dressed today in glittering embroidered vestments of pink, purple, and gold. We touched our foreheads to the ground before it and took our seats among other brightly dressed women across from a sea of men's colorful turbans and kerchiefs. A few Orthodox women bowed their turbans. Most of the women had long braids or buns. Very few, like me, had shorn hair beneath their bright veils. I wish I had explained to her that Sikhism may be the only religion in the world that preaches equality between men and women. I wished I'd told her that any woman present was allowed to read from the Guru, officiate during worship, and volunteer for leadership. I hoped she'd read it online. Poems in archaic Punjabi filled the hall, chanted and sung by three turbaned men to the pumping of a harmonium and the patter of the tabla. Bella and I read English translations projected on the walls behind the dais. "It's a lot to take in," Bella whispered. Though I've known Bella since she was born, our visit to the temple showed her a side of me she has never seen. For me, it was strange to see my faith through the eyes of a non-believer and have to explain it, both historically and theologically. Both of us were changed by our Sunday together. Thanks to Bella's respectful and curious visit, I'm more open to guiding other visitors to the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. My God is your God. It's only ignorance that separates us.
Shauna Singh Baldwin is the award-winning author of several novels, including The Selector of Souls.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Shauna Singh Baldwin joins us now to talk about the path forward since the shooting. Shauna, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
I want to start with going back 2 years, and I read an interview with you where you went to the temple right after the shooting, and one of the things that sort of surprised you at the time or that you observed was you realized that other people at the temple weren't necessarily particularly surprised by all of this, by the shooting, by the violence that happened. Can you take us back to that and tell me why that would be?
Well, ever since 9/11, there have been attacks on turbaned Sikh men and hate crimes against Sikhs right after 9/11. The initial theory was that these were cases of mistaken identity where they felt that they were going after Muslims. And, of course, we were concerned that they shouldn't go after anybody, you know. Whether it was Sikhs or Muslims. So there was a very fine line for us because we didn't want to redirect the violence to Muslims, but we were very concerned. And so the Sikh coalition was formed around that time, and attacks on Sikhs have been a constant irritant since then, some very violent ones. In fact, last Tuesday, there was a man in New York who shouted racial epithets at a Sikh man and then ran him over with his truck and drove away, and the guy is still in hospital. So this is continuing since 9/11, and our community has not been surprised. But what was a shock was that this incident, this tragedy, was a planned attack. The man came in, cased the joint and everything, and then he had to come in through a very long driveway across the parking lot and with a semi-automatic gun. And really, it's not something that just was spur of the moment.
Now, at the time, you wrote about how the Sikh religion was called obscure in the papers, and how people really didn't seem to know who you were, what you were about. In the years that have passed, has any of that changed? Do you see any progress in people either understanding or at the very least trying to understand?
Oh, I think that, you know, there have been so many efforts to help this, I mean, to address this. The authorities have been just amazing in Oak Creek, the federal authorities, the U.S. attorney, the mayor of Oak Creek, and so many people who have reached out to us since the shooting. So the people who were actually on the ground in Oak Creek have certainly reached out to us in very heartwarming ways. But other Americans don't know that we've been on this continent since the 1900s, or that there are 22 million Sikhs worldwide. And we aren't evangelical either. Most of us believe that our faith is, you know, between you and your creator kind of thing. So, I think there's a mixed response on that one. The people in banks and drugstores around the temple, they've all made such a huge effort to reach out to Sikhs around them and just say, hey, we're not like that perpetrator. But and last weekend, I and what seemed like 1,000 other American Sikh and non-Sikh went on a 6-kilometer walk, 1 kilometer for each victim. And, you know, through the 1950s-style ranch homes of Oak Creek, and we have a reputation for being active and entrepreneurial and argumentative and ambitious and tech-savvy, and all those traits were needed to organize this walk. So, and, you know, my work as a writer is pretty solitary, and I was surprised how good it felt to be with Sikhs and non-Sikhs who were commemorating the tragedy. So in that sense, yes, there has been some change.
And when there is an anniversary like this, of course, there's often a flurry of activity around that. But I'm curious as to whether you see a more tangible progress, not just necessarily in the, you know, the community members that surround the temple in Oak Creek, but maybe in the population at large, that there is an understanding there that, you know, that the temple is a place where tragedies like this shouldn't happen, and that people should have some tolerance. Do you see that sort of thing happening on a larger scale, or just sort of in the bits and pieces that affect your life more directly?
Well, I'll tell you, we're still dealing with this. I think that there's so many people who are still indirectly affected by this tragedy. I mean, two young women who came for their father's funeral happened to be pregnant at the time, and a Sikh volunteer social worker, Nimi Arora, helped them, you know, through their pregnancies. A couple of the victims' wives had never worked outside the home and suddenly found themselves thrust into the role of breadwinner, you know, in a foreign country where few people speak Punjabi or Hindi, and they've had to adjust. So we're still adjusting to this whole thing. One of the wives of the victims was denied a visa to return to the U.S. because Homeland Security said her status was dependent on her husband's visa. So, you know, they're still dealing with this, and pro bono attorneys have been involved to try to get her to return to her children over here. There's been non-Sikhs who've been affected by it. You know, a woman who lived near the temple had panic attacks for several months after the shooting because the police had occupied her home as they searched for the perpetrator. So I don't think that we're at that point yet where we can say that the larger community knows much about us or anything, because we're still dealing with the aftermath of this tragedy. I mean, just to give you an idea, we have become the target of places like the Westboro Baptist Church, and this church is counseling its followers on its site to take advantage of the shooting to proselytize to Sikhs. So I wonder if they thought that's what Jesus would do. But this is ongoing, and we have to counter it with education. And we're trying to do that, I guess.
We've only got about a minute left, and so I apologize for that. But what do you want to leave people with as you think about this anniversary and you think about the sort of the destructive power of ignorance and hatred?
Well, you know, being a writer, I believe language shapes and changes our thinking. So what if we, you know, Sikhs and non-Sikhs, enlarged the definition of the word family to include many more in the term? You heard me say our God is your God, and we may look different and speak a few more languages than English, but we're still part of the human family. And we could also enlarge our definition of words like minority and diversity, which are just too often used as code words for black. Several minorities live in this country, and people of many shades of brown and black. All residents of this country have the right to religious freedom, not only those of the Abrahamic traditions. And the perpetrator showed us that he had the power to destroy, and how very easy it is to destroy, so easy that you can destroy yourself as well. But what that also means is that one person has the power to create, to mend and amend. And I just want to leave you with this one, that the good luck greeting of the Sikhs is Chardikala, meaning spiritual progress through the arts. And art and humor just can offer a way in, an alternative to Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Mark Belling, and Charlie Spice.
And I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. Shauna, thanks so much for joining us. That was Shauna Singh Baldwin, the author of What the Body Remembers, and We Are Not Pakistan. Her latest book is The Selector of Souls.